Joshua chapter 24. If you're using the Pew Bibles this morning, that's page 316. Everyone else, Joshua chapter 24. Now in chapters 23 and 24, Joshua is old and he will soon die. In verse 1 of chapter 23, it describes Joshua as being old, advanced in age. And Joshua at this time is the leader of the Israelites. As he understands his end to be near, he brings the Israelite nation together to give them his farewell address. Now, in this address, he reminds Israel not just what the experiences that they have gone through over the years, but what God has done for them specifically, and what he has specifically brought them through his love and through his provisions. Now, he reminds Israel that their success is completely due to God. And he reminds Israel not to go back and serve the gods of their neighbors, but to always be faithful to the one true God, the God who had chosen them as his own special people. We're looking at Joshua chapter 24, starting in verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Lord and Heavenly Father, again, please just quiet our hearts and our minds. Help us to focus on you. I pray, Lord, that you would give us strength and allow us to see the word as you want us to see it. In your name I pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, Joshua was born a slave in Egypt. And when God directed Moses to stop tending sheep in the wilderness and to go lead his people out of the land of Egypt, Moses was 80 years old. Joshua was 40. As we fast forward through the scripture, we go past the exodus of Egypt. We go past the crossing of the Red Sea, the manna from heaven, and the water from the rock. And we see an event taking place in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8. We see the people of the Amalekites. They've decided to fight Israel. And we see the first time that Joshua is mentioned in verse 9. And Moses said to Joshua, "Choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand." So what Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Now God gave the victory to the Israelites in that battle. And Joshua was perceived as being a good fighter and a good military leader. Now notice that Joshua was commanded to go to battle, and he obeyed. Now, Joshua is not known for his strength, like the strength of Samson. He is not known for his wisdom as if he were Solomon. In fact, Joshua was not an above average person. If he was here today, we might look at him as just being ordinary or even maybe extraordinary. Now, what set Joshua apart from others was not a particular ability or any God-given gift, but more that when he was asked to step up, he obeyed. He courageously moved forward when he could have run away. Now, again, he was an average man, an average husband, and an average father. But when he was asked to support his people, he remained faithful. Now, as we continue, again, to fast forward through Joshua's history, we pass the events happening at Mount Sinai, including the giving of the Ten Commandments. We pass the worship of the golden calf. We continue through the building of the tabernacle, the creating of the Ark of the Covenant, and the new laws given to the Israelites. And we arrive at Numbers chapter 13. The Israelites are camped outside of the land of Canaan. The area described as a land flowing with milk and honey. God has already promised the land of Israel for their taking. Now, before they enter, God instructs Moses to send out 12 spies into the land just to get a feel for what the land looks like, how the terrain is, what the people are going to be like, what they're going to have to face. So Moses, he chooses 12 men from the 12 different tribes of Israel. And one of the men that is chosen is Joshua. Now, most people have read the account and know of the account of the Israelites wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and letting a whole generation of the Israelites die off. And a lot of people remember that, but they don't remember why that is. And this is connected to an event that Joshua is connected here. Now, the 12 spies went out into the land for 40 days. And they looked at everything. They got a good idea of who the people were and how the land was and so on. And they came back. And all 12 of the spies reported that, in fact, this was a land flowing with milk and honey. There were new fruits that they had never experienced before, such as pomegranate and such, that just grew right off of the land. The land was green and lush, and it would be a wonderful place to inhabit as their home. Now, the problem is that 10 of the spies, after giving this report, said, okay, but wait a minute. There's no way. It's wonderful, and it's great that God brought us here, but there's no way you're going to want to go in there and be able to approach that land. And 10 of the spies kind of rallied up the people to their side and said, we should not go in there. And their reasoning for it is they looked at the area, and they said, look, some of these people are really fierce. Some of these areas, they have really big kingdoms, like the kingdom of Jericho, that's really well fortified. They said, some of these people here are giants. They're as big as Goliath, almost 10 feet tall. And so these 10 spies got everyone kind of rallied up, and they're like, you know what? These guys are right. We shouldn't go. Now, two of the spies said, you know what? Look at all that God has brought us through. He has done so much for us. God can take us through this. God has said, promised this land to us. Of course we could take this land if God is before us. And the two men that said these things was a man named Caleb and the man Joshua. Now God instructs Moses to tell the Israelites in Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 28, he says, say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you've spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. The carcasses of you who have complained against me shall fall in this wilderness. All of you who were numbered, according to your entire number, from 20 years old and above. Except for Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. You shall by no means enter the land which I swore I would make you dwell in. But your little ones, whom you said would be victims, I will bring in. And they shall know the land which you have despised. Now again, Joshua is faithful to the Lord. Joshua is not fearless, but he trusts in the one who has proved himself to be bigger than their problems over and over again. Now the Lord again said to Moses in Numbers chapter 14 in verse 22, all these men who have seen my glory and the signs which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have put me to the test now these 10 times and have not heeded my voice, they certainly shall not see the land of which I swore to their fathers, nor shall any of those who rejected me see it. So 10 times God showed himself true. 10 times he did miraculous things in their lives, and yet they still refused to trust in him. The very fact that he parted the Red Sea and allowed them to walk on dry land is an incredible feat that not even today, with all of our technology, could we accomplish. And yet, the Israelites refuse to follow. Now, there are those who say that to have faith in God, we need to have blind faith. A faith that has no evidence to support its claim. We are simply supposed to accept that God exists and follow him without any support whatsoever. Now, but God isn't hiding. The evidence of his claim is everywhere that we look. It is in his creation. Everything living today, all plants, all animals, and even mankind. The Bible even declares that we are made in God's image. His image is literally everywhere. The evidence of what he has done is written across the lives of those in the Old and New Testaments. It's written in our history books of how he has continued to lead and guide mankind through today. There are so many things that God takes care of in our lives today, and we have a tendency not to notice because those things are not as big as maybe parting the Red Sea. But God is faithful. He's faithful to us every single day. Let's consider just a few items as to how God is faithful, just thinking about his creation. Now, this earth is spinning on an axis. It's perfectly spinning at just the right amount of spin that it needs to have on it, and no one knows how or why. You know, it's either an act of God or some gaseous explosion back billions of years ago somehow perfectly got the earth to move in this spinning rotation, and it is for some reason still rotating in that exact perfect way. And yet God here allows the earth to still move perfectly. In fact, he's going to continue to spin it for all of eternity. After heaven, God is going to create for his people a new earth, which I believe from my own personal study of scriptures that this will be this same earth made new again. God provided an earth from the beginning that would take care of all of our needs, and he'll continue to take care of our needs here on earth for all of eternity. Another point in creation is that the earth sits perfectly before the sun and the moon, perfectly between them. If they were a little bit closer to the sun, we would heat up a lot more until the earth eventually burns up. If we move just a little bit towards the away from the sun and closer to the moon, we would get super cold until the earth freezes over. And yet God keeps the earth in a perfect place so that we can live our every days for him, for his glory. That's magnificent. If we had to trust in evolution to do these things, hold on tight, because we're going to be going in every direction because it's all based on chance. Now consider with me Psalm chapter 8, verse 3 and 4. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? A man is insignificant compared to God or even God's creation, and yet God so loves man that he provides everything for him. God is so merciful that he even gave us his one and only son that we can have salvation and be free of our sin. That is more than mercy. That is the greatest definition of love. Now, God continued to show himself true to the Israelites. God faithfully guided them through the wilderness and back to the promised land. Joshua became the second in command to Moses. And when Moses died at the age of 120, Joshua, being 80, led the people into the land flowing with milk and honey, the land of Canaan. Now, most of the book of Joshua is about the Lord's provision for the Israelites and the establishment of Israel in Canaan, including the destruction of Jericho, those walls of Jericho. If you think about it, even at the age of 80, he was still a leader in his army. He still continued to fight. And God still continued to use Joshua, ordinary Joshua, who continued to be faithful to the Lord. Now look with me at Joshua chapter 23. Go back just one chapter. Let's look at Joshua chapter 23, starting in verse 1. And it says, "Now it came to pass, a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for Israel, all of Israel, for their elders, for their heads, for their judges, and for their officers, and said to them, 'I am old, advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you, for the Lord your God is he who has fought for you. See, I have divided to you by lot these nations that remain, to be an inheritance for your tribes, from the Jordan, with all nations that I have cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them from before you and drive them out of your sight, so you shall possess their land as the Lord your God promised you. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left. And lest you go among these nations, these who remain among you, You shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out from before you great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you as he promised you. Therefore, take careful heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God. Or else, if indeed you do go back and cling to the remnant of these nations, these that remain among you, and make marriages with them, and go into them, and they to you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you, but they shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing has failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spoke concerning you. All have come to pass for you. Not one word of them has failed. Therefore, it shall come to pass that as all the good things that have come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so the Lord will bring upon you all harmful things until he has destroyed you from this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. When you have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have gone and served other gods and bowed down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from the good land which he has given you. Now, Joshua calls the people to hold fast to the Lord. Hold fast means to determine to not give up no matter what. Stand your ground, stand firm, even when everyone else around you is running in the wrong direction. Joshua affirms that all that God has done for them and how the Lord continues to guide, to bless, and to provide for their needs. God has been long-suffering towards them, and they need to be obedient to his authority. Now look with me at chapter 24. As we see, Joshua is speaking what God is instructing him to speak to the people. Look with me, starting at verse 11. Then you went over the Jordan, as he speaks to the Israelites, and came to Jericho. And the men of Jericho fought against you. Also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. But I delivered them into your hand. I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out from before you. Also the two kings of the Amorites, but not with your sword or with your bow. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now therefore, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. Joshua again reminds the people of where God had brought them through and how he has brought them through faithfully. God never gave up on them. He could have wiped all of them out and all, for all the times that they were unfaithful, and yet he remained faithful. Now notice that Joshua reminds them over and over not to fall back to the old gods that they served in Egypt. Don't start serving other gods. Even when your neighbors are serving other gods, don't do that. Continue serving the one true God. Joshua reminds them because, as we have seen from their history, they are fickle people. They forget easily. When things are not going as they expected, they do not wait patiently on the Lord. They look to whatever will satisfy them in the moment. And again, Joshua says, don't go back to your old idols. Don't go back to your old gods. Don't go back to your old ways. Push forward and serve the Lord. Now, there's something really important here in verse 14 that I want to make sure that we don't miss. Look again with me at verse 14. It begins, Now, therefore, fear the Lord. Now, as we've seen many times in Scripture, therefore identifies a connection from what came from before it. Today, we would use the term because of, instead of saying therefore. Now, because of all of these things, this is what we need to move forward with. So Joshua is really saying, looking at all of what God has done for us, looking at how God delivered us through the land of Canaan, because of these things, as he promised, we should fear the Lord. Now, let's take just a moment to address the fear of the Lord. Now, the fear of the Lord, I could probably take a week long of sermons to really explain it out, but just to take a few moments to give us an idea of it. Now, there are many who suggest that the fear of the Lord is simply learning to respect God, and respect is part of it. It's a small part of it, but it is a part of it. But let me help you see this fear in light of God's understanding. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." So we cannot even have real knowledge, the knowledge of God, without the fear of the Lord. God also gives us Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12, which says, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." And we cannot walk in God's ways, we cannot really, truly love him, and we cannot serve him without a real fear of God. Now, to fear the Lord means that we should fear displeasing and dishonoring him because of our sins. Let me say it one more time. To fear the Lord means that we should fear displeasing and dishonoring him because of our sins. God hates sin, and we should hate sin too. Not accept that we will sin in life, so just give in to whatever we want. We should be making every effort to refrain from our sin and not give excuses to it. Now, in fearing the Lord, we should also fear God's judgment of our sin, even for the Christian. There's this idea that the only judgment that Christians will receive is less treasure in heaven, or maybe we'll have a mansion that's a little bit smaller. But I would challenge you to read Hebrews chapter 12. That will give you a good understanding of God's chastening for his believers. God does chasten us. He wants us to be used for his glory. And if you have determined in your life that you will be unusable to the Lord, then God's hand of blessing will be removed from you. And instead, you will be chastened. In verse 15, Joshua declares that his household is going to serve the Lord. And this is important, and we will get to that in a moment, but I want us to consider the order that this comes in. Joshua reminds the people that they need to take a stand. And he is about to declare the stand that he is making, putting into practice what he just taught that was important. But what did he declare that was so important before putting the efforts of obedience into practice? Fear the Lord. Because we cannot live for the Lord with a heart full of sin. If we're holding on to unconfessed sin, if there are sins in our lives that we do not want to give up, we cannot hold fast to the Lord. Because the unrepentant heart is separated from the Lord. The very first consideration in salvation is not about God's love and the sacrifice he made for us. It's about us being sinners. Now think about it. Anytime someone starts the Romans road, they begin with Romans 3:23. For all have sinned. It's about our relationship with the Lord. We are separated because of our sin. Our first commitment to Jesus Christ in partaking of his salvation is our repentance of our sins. And why is that? It's because God hates sin. We are separated from God by our sin. And we cannot hold fast to the Lord in sin. We cannot obey God while living with known sins in our lives. We cannot serve God in sincerity and in truth when we are also keeping a place in our lives for sin. Fathers, your family will not know how to fear the Lord if you do not. A healthy fear of the Lord is taught through the Father. I'll give you, tell you exactly why that is. So in Scripture, we're taught to fear the Lord because the Lord is our Heavenly Father. God is our Heavenly Father. He's also our disciplinarian. And the home, the Father, our loving Father, is also our disciplinarian. As we fear God the Father, we are also to fear, out of respect, our earthly Father. As the earthly Father teaches the fear of the Lord, he also teaches the fear and respect that you should have by respecting what your parents tell you, especially your father. Now, Christians, we need to fear the Lord. We need to take our sins seriously enough that we are willing to give it all up for the sake of Christ. We need to respect the Lord enough to obey his word and not make excuses for why we cannot. Christian, if you have a sin in your life that you cannot get victory over, that you cannot seem to conquer, it starts right here by fearing the Lord. Give all of your sin over to the Lord and commit to hating sin as much as he hates sin. Our last thought here this morning, look with me at verse 15, Joshua chapter 24. Joshua says, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Now Joshua drew a line in the sand. He made a decision. He said, it doesn't matter what all the rest of you guys do. If you decide to go back and serve some other gods, if you decide to fall back in your sin and leave a space for it, that's not going to impact me. It's not going to impact my family, because today I am going to stand. I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to make sure that no matter what, I don't turn back. I refuse to turn back. No matter what, he refused to give up. No matter what, he refused to follow the sin practices of his neighbors. No matter what, he refused to follow the culture around him, because to him, God was worth holding fast to. Joshua made a decision that would not just impact him, but his entire household. He feared the Lord and hated sin and lived that commitment enough that his family followed by his example. He refused to follow the culture, but instead drew closer to the Lord that provides. He refused to fall back on the old ways of his ancestors, but instead sought to obey the word of God. Joshua chose God over himself. Now, fathers, where do you draw the line? Are you compelled to follow the sins of our culture? Or do you lead your family to put the Lord first? Do you protect your children's purity, or do you let the world in through the front door? Do you seek to fear the Lord and know what that really means and live by example fearing the Lord so that your children will follow your example? Husbands, where do you draw the line? Do you teeter between what you want most out of life versus what pleases God? Do you lead your wife through Scripture to help her draw closer to the Lord? Christian, where do you draw the line? Do you honor God and commit to him based on his instruction? Or do you serve and honor God in your own way? Now, Christian, these are dangerous times that we're living in. They are increasingly becoming the most wicked times in all of our history. And this is not a time to hang your hat up and rest in your faith. This is a time to stand firm, to shore up your foundation in the Lord, and to prepare for battle, for real spiritual warfare, because it's coming, the likes of which you've never fought before. We cannot be divided in our relationship with the Lord like the majority of the Israelites were. We either love God or we don't. We either commit to God or we don't. We either fear God or we don't. We either serve God or we don't. And when we love God in our own way instead of the way that God has laid out for us in his perfect and holy word, we are disobeying just like the Israelites. We are making God out to be someone and something that he is not, and we are giving victory to the devil. When we commit to God in our own way instead of the way that God has laid out for us in his perfect and holy word, we are committing to God as much as the Israelites did when they refused to obey him. Even when their greatest treasure was just an arm reach away, they refused to follow through. And when we serve God in our own way instead of the way that God has laid out for us in his perfect and holy word, we are putting a half-hearted effort into honoring our holy God. And we are putting our own endeavors and desires first. When we love God with a shaky foundation, Satan wins. A half-hearted expression of love to God opens up all kinds of cracks in our home. When we love God half-heartedly, we leave the door open to the world to make all kinds of changes in our home. And it takes courage to love God in the way that he instructs, the way that fortifies the home from danger. Now, Joshua was an ordinary man. An ordinary man that trusted God. He had courage to fight when others would not. He was faithful among the faithless. He refused to serve anything else that life had to offer over God. His passions for life, he made his passion for life God. He purposed to put God before him instead of the other things around him in life. Now, the Lord uses ordinary men and women to do extraordinary things. All that he asks is that we be faithful. When he tells us to stand, we stand. When he tells us to obey, we obey. Even when he tells us to fight, we fight. Ordinary people fight to have the courage not to die for the Lord, but to live for the Lord. Anyone can die for a cause, but it takes real courage to live for it. Now, every ministry of the church is filled with an ordinary person who is simply willing to be used by an extraordinary God. Let me ask you this. Where do you draw the line today? How will you stand for God? Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your tremendous blessings in our lives. We thank you that as you have promised the Israelites that you will always take care of them as long as they remain faithful. Lord, so the promise is to us that you will continue to provide for us and take care of us as long as we remain faithful. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have that opportunity to be provided for. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can fear you, that we can respect you, that we can hate sin like you hate sin. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would drive that desire into the hearts of each and every one of us today. Lord, help us to see sin as you see sin. Help us to hate sin as you hate sin. Lord, I pray that we would go out into this world. I pray that we'd stand firm for you. I pray that we would not follow the sins of our culture, but Lord, help us to instead stand firm on your word. Let us go back to your word. Let us grow from it and be strengthened by it and share it with all around us. Lord, help us not to give up, but to grow stronger in you. Shore up our foundation, Lord. Help us to know you in a greater way. I pray this week that we would go out, that we would stand firm for you. But I pray, Lord, that you would teach us, even this week, what it means to fear you, what it means to honor you, and to truly live for you. Lord, I pray for those who have come this morning, laid a commitment before you, confessed something before you. I pray, Lord God, that you would work in their hearts this week. And I pray, Lord, that you would use the Holy Spirit to protect them and encourage them, Lord. Anytime that we make a commitment before you, we know that the devil's not far away to try to bring us back down. I pray, Lord, for these people. I pray that you would encourage them this week, build them up, strengthen them, keep them safe. As they fight in battle, Lord, I pray that you would strengthen them, encourage their ways. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be changed today. Please help us to remember what we brought to you together in worship today, how we've considered Joshua and the Israelites. I pray, Lord, that we would not forget. Help us to not be like the Israelites. Help us to be like Joshua, faithful to the end. In your name I pray these things. Amen.